All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Heat play-by-play man Eric Reed is going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. But first, let's get to some new quarterbacks in the NFL or guys that have been around before but now are on new teams. And just let's go through their expectations for this upcoming year before we get back into the big stories of the day. The Miami Heat losing last night, Boston is now down 3-2 in this series. Big game six coming up tomorrow evening. We thought this series was basically over with when Miami did take a 3-0 lead. And now it's like, hold on, wait a second. We may have a series on our hands. And also the biggest story of the day, DeAndre Hopkins getting released. And now we're going to wait in great anticipation to see what team he's going to be on for this upcoming season. Who's going to go get D-Hop and probably a very cheap deal for the 2023 season. But Hickey, with OTAs opening up around the league, let's start off with the biggest name on the move at the quarterback position this past offseason, and that's Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. Now, I'm trying to think about expectations for the Jets this year. If you're a Jet fan, you should think Super Bowl. If you are Robert Saleh, and he even said it the other day, yeah, he thinks they're one of the handful or two teams that could go out there and go win a Super Bowl in this league. I don't look at the Jets as a team that's going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think just their own division, Buffalo is better. Maybe Buffalo goes out there, gets DeAndre Hopkins. Heck, this could honestly be, Hickey, an AFC East bidding for DeAndre Hopkins because the Jets have nothing to lose at this point. And I know you have Garrett Wilson. I know you brought in Alan Lazard, but you could still use a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. The Patriots would love to go get him, and they have interest before in DeAndre Hopkins. The question just becomes, does D-Hop want to go there? Because the Patriots aren't this desirable destination. But with that being said, it's more so, can he get along with Bill O'Brien? Because there was a lot of ugliness and a lot of things that did go down at the end of DeAndre Hopkins' tenure, which all appeared to be at the fault of Bill O'Brien. And we know how much the Bills are going to be active, or you think will be active in going and get DeAndre Hopkins. He's not going to Miami because you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jaylen Waddle as well. And I'm just curious, like, what is DeAndre Hopkins' value? You could say maybe he goes to the team with the most amount of money because it's going to be a one-year deal anyway. I don't know what the money's going to look like. Does he want to go to a place where he has the best chance to win? There's one thing for him to say it, but how many times, for example, like Calais Campbell, he's talking up the Atlanta Falcons this year. Guys sometimes make moves or they talk themselves into that being a winning situation where it's not. Or does he want to go somewhere where he's definitely going to be the number one wide receiver? And there's like few places where he's going to go where he's not going to be the number one wide receiver. But you go to a place like Buffalo, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, you got a lot of weapons that are there. If you're trying to set yourself up for one last big contract, that may not be the most beneficial for DeAndre Hopkins to go to Buffalo, even though I think Buffalo is going to do everything they can to go get him to Orchard Park. So I'm curious, Hickey, you look at a guy like DeAndre Hopkins before we get back to these quarterbacks, and I just wonder what he's going to look for, because you never know with wide receivers, you never know with athletes what they view as number one in terms of importance.
I mean, you would think the way he's talked the last week or so about the quarterbacks he wants to play with and naming five quarterbacks that are all top of the league and also on winning teams.
Josh Allen.
Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson.
Herbert, he said.
Justin Herbert, those are the five. So, I mean, those are all quarterbacks that are on teams that are trying to win Super Bowls right now. So you think he prioritized winning. He talked about, you know, what he looks for in a team, good organization, trying to win, quarterbacks that care. Everything he is saying.
What a shot at Kyler Murray still.
Everything he's saying would lead you to believe he's going to go to the team, not that gives him the most money, but puts him in the best position to win a ring.
You would think so, because that's what he's saying. But there's one thing to say it, and then there's another thing to do it. And, like, let me just throw this out there. And this is not just because this is the team that I root for. But if you go to New England, you're absolutely the number one weapon there. But I'm not looking at the Patriots that have a chance to really win anything significant. Like, I don't think the Patriots are making the playoffs right now with the way the roster is constructed. I think they'll be in the mix, but I don't think they're going to be one of the seven teams in. If they go get DeAndre Hopkins, I start to feel a lot more confident about them making the playoffs. But for DeAndre Hopkins, he's made the playoffs before. He made the playoffs a few times with the Texans. He was in that playoff game 2 years ago when it was the Cardinals and the Rams. And it's like, do you really want to go win? And when I mean win, win a Super Bowl? Or is it, oh, just get back into a playoff environment? And, like, if the Patriots come calling, and let's say the Bills, let's say those only two teams that come calling, and we know there's going to be more. Do you go to Buffalo, and Buffalo has a much better chance of winning a Super Bowl than the Patriots, so it's not even close, or do you go to New England because you could talk yourself into them being a winning team with Belichick being there and all the dominance Belichick has had in this league, and you also, like, kind of get the best of both worlds where you're, without a doubt, the unquestioned number one wide receiver, and you know your stats should be really prodigious numbers to set you up for that next big payday. Like, that to me is the big question that we're going to learn. How serious is DeAndre Hopkins about winning? Because winning could be used as a very loose word where you even look how, not to relate this to the Giannis Antetokounmpo thing, but where how he talked about failure and how he says, oh, no one fails. And when you're a professional athlete, and just because they didn't win the championship this year. So I just wonder how he defines winning. Because I think there's a difference in saying, I want to win, and to what degree do you want to win? Like, just get back to the playoffs? Like, no crap, everyone wants to win a Super Bowl, but how serious are you about winning with your selection? Because let's be real, if he's super duper serious about winning a Super Bowl, I think there's only really two choices. It's Kansas City or the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, if you're going to tell me that there's five quarterbacks that you're interested in playing for, and two that you mentioned is Patrick Mahomes, and then the other is Jalen Hurts, well, you go to Kansas City, without a doubt, you're the number one wide receiver. Now, you may not be the number one throwing option because they still have Travis Kelce there, but you're the number one wide receiver. And you have a team that every year, it seems like they're in the AFC title game, bare minimum. And then if you go to Philadelphia, sure, you're not going to get the most targets because they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but the Eagles right now, I think in many people's eyes, have a very good chance of getting back to the Super Bowl. You go add DeAndre Hopkins, it's like, whoo, that thing's really going to take off even more than what it just did a year ago when they got to the Super Bowl, and at one point had a big lead up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So if he's serious about winning a Super Bowl, I kind of look at it as two options. Now, I guess you could throw Buffalo in there as well, because it would probably alter a lot of people's view about the Buffalo Bills. I think everyone believes the Bills are a really, really, really good team right now. But I think there is some hesitation on the Buffalo Bills just because a lot of people were believing in them last year. And they came up not only short, but significantly short.
No, I definitely say if you want to win a Super Bowl, I would definitely put the Bills in that conversation of, or in the pool, I guess, of teams you're considering, along with the Chiefs, along with the Eagles. But the teams that we think that should be at least interested on the surface are teams we just mentioned, and now we'll kind of see what Hopkins's true motivations are, and also what he determines, like you said, to be actually winning. Like, he said the right things. Now it's time to put your money where your mouth is.
If DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Bills, do you think the Bills are a lock to get to the Super Bowl?
No.
If DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Kansas City Chiefs, you think they're a lock to get to the Super Bowl?
I would still probably say no.
Okay, that's where we differ. Because they just won a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. If you had DeAndre Hopkins, and I had to give you a prediction tomorrow as to who would get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, it would be the Kansas City Chiefs. It really would be. And I know you still have Cincinnati, and Cincinnati has played Kansas City really well. Right? They had a 3-game win streak up against them before. Who was it? Mike Hilton, who started to run his mouth and talk about it being Burrowhead and Arrowhead and all that stupidity. And they have a dominant team when you look at Burrow and you look at Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. But it would be very tough for me to not pick Kansas City to get and win the Super Bowl. Like, you can make that case right now, clearly. But if they get DeAndre Hopkins, I think it takes it to a whole different level. I really do believe that. That would kind of feel like when the Patriots got Randy Moss. It's not something they had to do, but when it does happen, it takes an already great team and then puts them at just like a ridiculous level. Now, I'm not predicting that means undefeated Kansas City Chiefs, here they come. I'm not going to do that because their schedule is tough, but if they go get DeAndre Hopkins, like, geez Louise, good luck to the rest of the NFL. That would be the definition of the rich just getting richer, Hickey.
I mean, a great addition for Patrick Mahomes, again, is just, I just, you know, it's tough AFC. I don't think, to me, he's not someone that puts any team over the top at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? He had a really, for a guy that missed six games this year and had a quarterback that was underachieving and then a quarterback that same quarterback that got hurt to put up 717 yards on 64 catches while missing the first six games of the season, those are still some pretty damn elite numbers if you ask me.
At this point, I just don't think he's a game breaker.
Really?
Yeah. Like, Travis Kelce, to me, is still the more, like, if he's on the Chiefs, that's still the guy I'm way more worried about than Hopkins. He's still the number one target in Kansas City.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that, but because that's just because he's a dominant tight end. It's like, you know, if you put DeAndre Hopkins on the Patriots when Gronk was still there, sure, Gronk is still the number one wide receiver, but he averaged nearly 11 yards, a little over 11 yards per catch last year. Those are just crazy numbers for DeAndre Hopkins when you look at it. So I still think he's an elite wide receiver. And you look at the last 2 years, yeah, suspension and the year before that injury, like you wonder, is the body starting to break down a little bit? But you look at what he did his last year in Houston, which was 2019, he put up 1,165 yards. And then in 2020, he put up, first year in Arizona, 1,407 yards. And 2021, there were some injuries. 2022, he missed the first six games, and he went to 11.2 yards per catch. That's still pretty elite to me, if you ask me. All right, getting back to the quarterbacks. Rodgers, Jets, their expectations this year, in our opinion, not where the team thinks they're at. I kind of think if I was a Jet fan, I would walk into this season saying, you got to be a playoff team, and then you got to go win a playoff game or two. I would kind of think, if you're being a realistic Jet fan, your goal would be to get to the AFC title game this year. Yourself.
I was going to say, get to the wild card game.
Just the wild card? Just the playoffs?
Yes.
Don't you gotta think a little bit more than playoffs?
Yes, realistic expectations. I see the Jets making the playoffs, going on the road, and losing in wild card weekend.
That'd be disappointing.
I mean, I get it. It's Super Bowl expectations. I'm not saying that the Jets fans should be happy making the playoffs. I'm agreeing with you that that would be disappointing. But you're asking, like, how do I see this team? Exactly how I see it.
Derek Carr. I know he says he feels rejuvenated. I saw John Gruden was actually helping out the Saints in OTAs. And Dennis Allen, the whole Raider connection thing there as well. Derek Carr, I think the expectation is to win the division, right? That's how you would kind of view it.
Yes.
That division stinks. If they don't win the division, that's a disaster this year for Derek Carr. How about the Colts this year? I heard something very interesting yesterday from Eric Eager. I was listening to his podcast. He talked about Shane Steichen, and you know Steichen was with Herbert, and then Steichen was with Hurts, and they kind of view Anthony Richardson as like a mixture of both like the size of a Herbert and then the athleticism of a Hurts. I thought that comparison was interesting in why they selected Richardson. You kind of get a mix of both those guys. Then he has to put it together. We haven't seen him put it together, and it's all doing this based off potential. But in year one, what are you kind of looking for with now it feeling likely that Anthony Richardson is actually going to start potentially week one for that football team? He's already splitting reps with Gardner Minshew. Like, he should be able to beat out Gardner Minshew, I would think.
I would hope. I would agree with that. I'm just saying progress. I'm not even putting a win total on it. If he looks better in week 18 than he does in week one, they could be 0-17. That, to me, is a win.
0-17? That's not a win. You got to go win a few games.
Well, if you're 0-17, that could mean...
Oh, stop with this Caleb Williams nonsense. Your team just drafted a quarterback with a fourth overall pick. I know you're going to tell me, oh, Josh Rosen, Cardinals, blah, blah, blah. That's not happening.
But that's realistically what I'm expecting. Be better in week 18 than you are in week one. Wins are irrelevant.
C.J. Stroud with the Texans, I feel like it's the start of a new era. I'm not expecting the Texans to be all that good, but you start to finally think about the Texans that they're finally actually moving on since trading Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you these two quarterbacks, Jimmy G with the Raiders and Sam Howell with the Commanders. I know Sam Howell was on the Commanders last year, but he wasn't the starting quarterback. I kind of think both those teams have to go make the playoffs this year for this to be a success. Now, I'm not telling you I expect that to happen with the Raiders. Commanders, that's fair. But for Jimmy G, you're on a 3-year contract. You got talent around you on the offensive side of the ball. I know your defense stinks. But those two teams I kind of look at, if I was a fan about those teams, I got to go make the playoffs this year, or else we got to have some serious changes at the coaching position.
Raiders, I would agree. Commanders, I can't.
Why?
Because, Sam, you have no idea what Sam Howell is. If you feel good about, at the end of the year, Sam Howell and his progress, and your team is 8-9, I would say, okay, fine, that's a win.
But that's why I said, that's why I would think about a coaching change if they don't make the playoffs, because you keep on making bad decisions at the quarterback position, and you have a roster that's good. You have Jahan Dotson. You got Terry McLaurin is an absolute stud. Brian Robinson, I think, is going to be a good running back in this league. You got a good defense. Like, you got pieces there. And I know we talk to Ron Rivera each and every year at the Super Bowl. We love Ron Rivera, but their mismanagement of this quarterback position, how many more cracks are you going to get at this before someone starts to point the finger at him and says he's got to go?
Well, that I agree with. I think it's two separate conversations, to be honest, like in terms of being okay with Sam Howell and also being okay with firing Ron Rivera.
But that's what I said. I said, if they don't make the playoffs, then I got to start thinking about a coaching change. Packers with Love, you just got to walk away at the end of the year thinking that you have your future. Bucks with Baker, I don't think that's going to work at all. Can you tell me you go compete for a division? I guess, but I don't think that's going to happen. Panthers with Young. Here's what I'll say about Bryce Young. Impressed with less. That's what I would say with Bryce Young. He impressed with less around him at Alabama last year. Just do that again in year one, because you don't have a ton around you on the offense side of the ball that really does make you say that they're going to be good. Just give me a few tangible moments this year where you're like, okay, that's the number one pick, and that's the guy moving forward into the future. We'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, the play-by-play man for the Miami Heat, Eric Reed, joins us next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Eric Reed, the TV play-by-play man for the Miami Heat, joins us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Eric, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing well, Zach. It's always great when your team is in a Final Four, if you understand my drift there.
Yes. So this is a very interesting series because it looked like Miami was surprisingly going to quickly dispose of the Boston Celtics when they were up 3-0. Then they lose that game 4 last night. They just didn't show up. Everyone talks about momentum is shifting now to Boston. Are you ready to go there? Because I still feel like I feel good about Miami winning this game 6 coming up tomorrow night.
Well, each game's its own separate entity, Zach, and really doesn't have anything to do with the game that passed. Other than, you know, in every playoff series, I think there's one general rule. Can the team that won the previous game match the energy and urgency of the team that's coming off a loss? So, listen, give Boston credit. The last two games they have played like they are capable of, and to be honest with you, like we expected they would through the whole series. Give Miami credit for containing them over the first three games, contained their three-point shooting, controlled their own turnovers, and played the game on their terms over the last two games. You know, I look at it, the Celtics over 50% from the field in both, 18 threes in one, 16 in the game last night, for 16 turnovers in both of their wins. And when you're getting 27 points a game off turnovers and averaging 17 threes a game, that's going to be tough to beat. And plus, the way their backcourt played last night, Zach, listen, if Derek White and Marcus Smart can do that again, then yes, the Celtics have momentum. You know, that's what made them, you know, really powerful last night. You know you're going to get it from Tatum and Brown. But White and Smart outscored Strus and Lowry. I think it was 47-8. And that just can't happen again if the Heat are going to win another game in this series.
Oh, that's the key to the series, and that's the key to Boston. If they get to 40% or more from three, they're basically unbeatable. How does Miami go back to making them struggle from three where they were earlier in this series?
You know, it's crazy as it sounds, Zach. I really think it starts on the offensive end for Miami. I think that's where the Heat lost the last two games, and that's how the Celtics are getting their offense going. They're turning Miami over. They're speeding up the tempo of the game. Many of their threes are coming in transition. They're getting a lot of wide-open looks, and shots are dropping for them now. So the Heat got to control their turnovers and really run the offense through Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. They're Miami's best two players, and they've got to play like that in the game tomorrow night. You know, Bam has had three tough games in a row offensively. The Celtics, you know, after a really strong start to the series, the Celtics are sending two and sometimes three defenders at him to try to clog the middle. They're doing the same with Butler. listen, Joe Mazzulla got a lot of criticism early. He's made a couple of shrewd moves as this series has progressed. Why Grant Williams wasn't in the rotation at the beginning, that's a question for him to answer. But he's been a factor since being put back in. And making the change after starting Robert Williams the first two games at center alongside Horford, taking him out, putting Derek White in, has made them a little smaller, but a lot quicker. I think better defensively, believe it or not, and much better offensively.
Eric Reed here with us, the TV play-by-play man for the Miami Heat. Do you expect Gabe Vincent to give it a go tomorrow night?
I hope so. You know, listen, I don't know the severity of his injury, so I'm just guessing. Based on who he is, how mentally and emotionally strong he is, how much he will want to play, I think he will. You know, sometimes when guys play with injuries, it's not whether they'll play or not, it's how well can they play with those injuries. So, listen, Gabe's been a huge part of it. It's not that he's the quote-unquote point guard. He's not the quarterback of the offense. That's Jimmy Butler. But Gabe gives you 94 feet of defense, potentially a strong three-point shooter, and a guy that has fared well against Jaylen Brown in this series. The Heat clearly missed him, although I did think Haywood Highsmith earned another look. He was really good for Miami, and as a guy that can defend Tatum or Brown, played 33 minutes in the last game for Miami after playing seven scoreless minutes in the series prior to last night.
Did you have a problem at all with the Heat's effort last night, Eric Reed?
You know, I think we all did, and it was too passive. You know, only 10 free throw attempts. Again, only 78 field goal attempts. The 16 turnovers hurt them. Boston, you know, the offensive rebounds, when it ended up, it was only 12-10 Boston. But when the Celtics offensive boarded last night, it was debilitating because, they shot pretty well over 50%. They were 40% from three, and too many guys were on target for Miami to deal with. And listen, last two games, the Heat, 96 and 97 points. This is a team that was averaging 120 in the series prior to the last two, average 124 in the first round series against the Bucks. The Knicks series was different, much lower scoring. But listen, this is really not a surprise. A shock would have been a sweep.
Yeah.
Boston's too good for that. This is really the kind of series we anticipated it would be. The gut-twisting turns of a typical playoff series. And we'll see if, listen, the Heat going to get their third chance tomorrow night, and it's probably, let's be real, it's not their last chance, but it's their best chance to win this series in front of their home crowd.
I know anything could happen in a Game 7, but it feels like this series gets decided tomorrow night. Clearly, if the Heat win, they're off to the NBA Finals. But if this goes back to Boston with Boston, and I know they have not been great at home, but they have a Game 7 in that building, it's going to be tough to pick against the Celtics in a Game 7.
Listen, obviously, but who's picking the Heat? You know, they've been an underdog in pretty much every playoff game they've had. There may be one or two that they've been favorite. Nobody expected the Heat to still be here, and nobody down here is thinking about Game 7. In the playoffs, it's all about staying in that present moment and not make it too big. For sure, it's not going to be too small. Everybody knows what both teams are playing for. It's an ultimate matchup. It really is. Think about it. The Heat is a win away from going to the finals for the seventh time in franchise history. And the Celtics know there's no margin for error. Their season ends with a loss. You can't ask for a better stage or better competition. We're all looking forward to what we think is going to be a great and memorable Game 6. And listen, it took the Heat 6 to beat the Knicks. So to think you were going to get rid of the Celtics sooner than that was probably foolish. And we'll see if the Heat can do what they've done. They have not trailed in a playoff series yet this year. Tomorrow, again, a great chance to do it. And I think it's going to take a great effort from their best player, Jimmy Butler. He's the leader. He's got the swagger and the confidence and the talent and the skill and the will to back it up. I think he's got to have a super aggressive game. You know, he took 10 shots last night. To me, I hope he's over 20 shots and over 30 points. I think that would enhance Miami's chances, obviously, of winning that game tomorrow.
And I gotta believe that Jimmy's going to have a monster game tonight after what, let's just call it what it was a bad Game 5. being in that home building, I know they had a chance earlier to close them out at home, but feeling all the pressure, I kind of expect Butler to show up big tomorrow night and win this series, Eric.
I know he's going to try his hardest. And, you know, listen, we call him Playoff Jimmy for a reason. He plays at an extraordinary level in the postseason. Nobody more than Jimmy remembers how painful it was to lose in Game 7 at home to these Celtics in last year's conference finals. Remember, the Heat lost 3 games at home in that series to Boston. They got a chance to atone for that. This whole season is about getting back to this moment. And no matter how it goes for Jimmy, the intent, the purpose, the mission, he knows what it's all about and what is expected of him. And listen, he's usually great at figuring out what his team needs for him to win the get that game that they're in. And tomorrow night, that is plenty. A lot will be asked of and expected of Jimmy Butler. He's Miami's best player.
I sometimes think the guaranteeing of a game gets a little blown out of proportion, because what do you expect a player to say? Oh, we're going to go out there and lose a game, a playoff game? Like, you would never hear that from someone. But what did you make about Jimmy's comments after the game last night?
Typical of Jimmy. We did an interview with him that sort of got retweeted. It resurfaced this week. It was middle of the season. Or around the All-Star break, I would say. And the Heat were starting to turn it around, and we did a post-game interview with him after a Heat win. I said, what are you expecting out of the second half? And he just deadpanned a championship. That's a little bit about how the Heat are wired and built and what they're playing for each year. And, you know, they're a win away from getting to compete for a championship against a great Denver team. But listen, Boston had the second-best record in the league. They went to the finals a year ago. It is a tough, proud, talented group. If the Heat get it done, it's a stunning, major accomplishment. You know, Miami's trying to make that kind of history. It's not about being, you know, the first eighth seed since, you know, 99 to make the finals. They're trying to win this game tomorrow and then go out and try to win themselves an NBA championship.
One last thing on a side note with Miami. If they go to the NBA finals, what's the status of Tyler Hero looking like?
Don't know. The cast is off. Obviously, everybody saw him shooting around before the last game. Who knows? You know, I think the original timetable was sort of figured in. Well, if the Heat were ever to make the finals, remember he got hurt in the very first playoff game, that game one win at Milwaukee, broke his hand, severe broken hand. I don't know if it's realistic or not, but we'll just have to wait and see. He's not playing tomorrow. That much we know.
Eric Reed, we appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the series. Thanks so much.
Hope to. Thank you.
There you go. Eric Reed joining us, the TV play-by-play man for the Miami Heat. We will take a break. When we come on back, a new report about LeBron James and his future. We'll get to all that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, I'm going to ask you to do something for the rest of the show. I need a little like pick-me-up kind of music. We may have to go to EDM. We may need to go to some loud music and high-energy music. And I don't usually lack high energy. That's one thing I could say about my radio career. You know, each and every day, you may not agree with what I'm going to have to say, but you're going to have definitely passionate radio, and you're going to have high energy as well. That's something I never lack. But today, and I'm going to bitch here for a second, and I'll get the tweets right away. Oh, stop bitching. A small violin's playing for you, Gelb. Blah, blah, blah. I am exhausted. I have never been this exhausted doing a radio show than back when I used to do the weekend overnights, when I would get like no sleep and you'd be up at like 4 a.m. Eastern time. And you've been in this spot, right? Not to throw you under the bus here, Hickey, but you know how to relate to this. When you do the weekend overnights, and I had to do Friday into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday, you just do it Friday into Saturday, but I'll give you credit where you're doing a full days of work. And I get it. We're not digging ditches. I understand that. But then you have to stick around here because you're not going to go back to your apartment. You stick around here right after our show ends at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then you go on at 2 a.m. Eastern. You don't get out of here until 6 a.m. Eastern. There are moments, you will agree with me, where like it's like 4:25 a.m. Eastern time, where you're talking into the microphone. And not that you're dozing off, But there's times where you go, I am so tired, I don't even know what the heck I'm saying at times, right?
Oh, yeah, you lose your mind. Forget the train of thought, even midway through a sentence. Sometimes when you're dead tired, your brain goes to, just shuts off.
Now,
you don't want it to.
I don't have a ton of gray hair, but the gray hair that I have, I think started when I would do those weekend overnight shifts. Because that's just my theory on it. But right now, I've been up since 4:25 a.m. Mountain Time. Because I had to get up this morning at 4:25, 4:30, and I had to go to the airport. And I don't know why, Hickey. I'm usually pretty good with being able to doze off on a plane. But I could not sleep at all today when I was on the plane. And I landed, got in the Uber, went right to my apartment, packed a bag because I'm going to Long Island this weekend for Memorial Day weekend. And I'm actually going to my parents' house tonight right after the show. So I have to take an hour train to get out to Long Island. And my parents just moved into a new house. So you know the moment I walk in, my mother's going to want to show me like all the rooms in the house. She's going to want to give me the big grand tour. And I'm just going to want to walk in and go right to bed. But I know that's not going to happen. So, like, if I had to set the over-under tonight, like, let's say I get back to Long Island at, like, 11:30, let's say, tonight. You know, get out of here at 10 o'clock, go hit the first train, get home at 11:30, you know, at my folks' place. I'm probably not going to bed till 1 in the morning. Now, that's close to being up for almost 24 straight hours. And right now, what I probably should have done, looking back at this, Hickey, since I was supposed to go to the Nuggets game, that's why I was out in Colorado. And that didn't happen, so I took back my off day, and I worked on Wednesday, and I worked on Thursday. I probably just should have taken today off. You know, traveling back, early morning flight, then boom, just take off and go into the long weekend.
Get the holiday weekend started early.
A little bit early.
Looking back, yeah, you know, you're not wrong, especially, I mean, what are you going to do? You don't know the game's canceled until
yeah. Well, you know my problem is?
Monday.
My problem is I have such bad luck with the airlines that anytime I don't take the first flight out, like in the morning, it always gets delayed now. So I do this thing where I take the first flight out, and you have to wake up to go make like a 6:30 flight. You have to get up so early as it is just to get to the airport in time. And I even have TSA PreCheck, so you get through the line pretty quickly and through security pretty quickly. So TSA PreCheck saves you time, but when you're trying to hit that 6:30 a.m., 7 o'clock a.m. flight, you're just setting yourself up for that to be a complete day where you're just drained. But if you don't get that early flight, and let's say you settle for like the 11 a.m. flight, I feel like that flight always gets delayed. The airlines are really a mess right now. They're an absolute mess. I got stuck in Kansas City for an extra day. Don't get me wrong. I love Kansas City. It was awesome, and the barbecue was great, but after, what, 3-4 days in Kansas City, I was ready to go home. Even when I went to Milwaukee a year ago, I got delayed like 6-7 hours, and I had to land in Detroit and then go from Detroit to Milwaukee. When I was trying to go to Florida, remember, my flight just got completely canceled. It was a beautiful day outside. So I get so paranoid, and I get so worried because of the fact that I've been screwed so many times by these airlines that now I feel as if I have to take that first flight because at least I know the plane is going to be there because it usually there from the, you know, gets in the night before. And then I take off in the morning and I usually don't get delayed like today. But then the rest of your day is just absolutely shot. And that's what we're experiencing today. So there you go.
It's a rough way of living. You got, you know, you call me the hex with picking games. I guess you're the hex in terms of traveling on the airlines.
Now that just woke me up because now you're calling me a hex. Shame on you. Shame on you.
I don't want to jinx it. I don't travel a ton. I've had pretty good luck so far.
Where do you travel to?
I said I don't travel a ton.
Yeah.
We've traveled to Kansas City. We've gone to Phoenix. I went to L.A. for the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Phoenix back and going to Scottsdale in August for a bachelor party.
Oh, really?
You talk about frying in the sun. Everyone's running out of there.
Wait, in August?
August, yep.
It'd be like 120 degrees?
Oh, yeah.
Bring some Gold Bond, my friend.
Oh, and a lot of suntan lotion. I need a lot of things dealing with that heat. So, yeah. So, I've had, knock on wood, and there's some wood over here. I am a little superstitious. I've been having good luck on the airlines.
Wow.
Bad luck picking games. You've had good luck picking games, bad luck on the airlines. Which one would you rather have? I know which one I'll take.
Yeah, I'd rather the bad luck on the airlines.
Not the bad luck on the games.
I don't know. I'm talking a lot more and betting some money, so I'd rather have the better luck on the games. That's just me. But that's a little misleading what you just said. You've missed the flight. You've missed the flight recently.
Forgetting because I was sick. On my
you got food poisoning.
That's not because
on your deathbed.
There was, I'm not going to try to be dramatic.
Your deathbed.
But when I had a stomach bug, there was one point at like 3 a.m.
You dying?
I really thought this might be it.
Oh,
like, this is
God.
How I'm going to go out. I was a little dizzy. I'm like, oh boy. I'm not, I'll be honest with the audience. I thought for a second my time was up.
What are you now, the Kardashians of CBS Sports Radio with all this drama?
When you're the stomach bug, man, and it does a number.
Your deathbed, though? Come on.
It does a number.
That's
I thought I was going to die of dehydration.
That's the weakest thing you've ever said on this show.
I had no fluids
in me. Your deathbed.
I could barely stand up.
Oh,
I'm like, holy cow, this is...
Yeah, a little food poisoning. We've all been there, done that. It
My
sucks.
Girlfriend
don't get me
there,
wrong.
So, and I had no one looking after me. I'm in this city alone
there.
At like
Where
3 a.m. She was away for work.
Did you call her?
No, I didn't call her. What is she going to do?
I'm puking my guts out. Please come help me. Please.
I was very nervous at this.
It's over. This is it for me.
But thankfully, I toughed it out.
Wait, now hold on. You can't say you're almost on your deathbed and then you toughed it out. Did you almost think about going to the hospital?
No. I mean,
Come on, you're on your deathbed. If you think you're on your deathbed, you're going to the hospital.
I was prepared to just die right there in the bathroom of my apartment.
You know what? It's probably where that's going to happen, if we're being fair. You keep on doing these shower no cap videos that you throw out there. Whew.
What do you mean?
Oof.
What's wrong with them? I'm not going to die doing a video.
I don't know. Those takes. I don't think they're going to be that good, if I'm being fair with you.
Wow.
I don't know
they're
if this segment's going to...
I'm standing in.
Do you take cold showers?
No.
Maybe you should start.
Hot showers.
Maybe you should start. Those hot takes got to be cooled off just a little bit. Maybe it'll help you out. Penn State winning tomorrow, by the way, in lacrosse. Who are they playing? Duke, right?
They are playing number one seeded Duke.
They win it tomorrow. Hickey's going to the game. He's going to see his lacrosse team, his
That's
school,
right.
playing the Final Four. He could name the whole roster, I'm sure. You think your team's winning tomorrow?
I will say yes.
Of course.
I'll see you on Monday, Championship Monday, but this is going to be a tough game.
I think two things about this. Number one, what happens if your big-time rival, your big enemy of yours, Coach K is at the game supporting his Dukies. You saying, like, if you get seated right next to Coach K, you saying hello?
If I'm seated next to Coach K, am I going to say hello?
Do you introduce yourself? Hey, I'm Ryan Hickey from CBS Sports Radio, Coach. Big fan.
No,
even though
I'm
I trashed
not.
You for a whole year when you were just trying
I would
to retire
not
nicely.
Introduce myself, not because I'm afraid.
Oh, please.
But because that's what he would want me to do. He is someone who wants everyone to know. He is there.
You think Coach K gives a rat's ass about
yes,
you?
Yes.
Oh, you're a
he
fool.
Wants everyone to be
you're
like,
a fool.
Oh my, and like fainting at the knees. There goes Coach K. Gonna give him the cold shoulder. Wear my Penn State shirt. I'm sure he'll be in some Duke blue shirt. He's the enemy, and I'm gonna pretend he's not even there. I'm gonna pretend the seat next to me is empty. Give him cold shoulder him, and you know what? I bet you he's gonna be upset about that.
Folks, I created a monster here. I think
no, it's not a me thing. This is a Coach K thing. He needs everyone fawning over him. He needs to be the center of attention.
I've created an egomaniac in Hot Take Hickey where he's really starting to feel himself that you just said on a national radio show, a legendary coach, one of the greatest coaches of all time, that you, Hot Take Hickey, Ryan Hickey, wouldn't say hello if you were seated right next to him.
It's not a me ego.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's a Coach K knowing how to push people's buttons sort of thing.
Oh, please.
And really give them what they're not looking for. Like, Coach K would probably want me to trash talk him just because he would get the joy of just like, oh, he knows who I am sort of thing, and he knows how important I am.
Well, now since you're doing the shower no cap videos that you keep on putting out there, and then you get to shower yourself in beer walking out of the stadium if Penn State wins and you give us one of those crazy drunk recaps that
Maybe.
You usually give us.
Maybe. Here's a hot take for you. I will not be as tuned up as I was at the Rose Bowl.
I don't think
that's hard to top number one.
You had like 20 beers at the Rose Bowl.
We had a day, so.
I think you need to just go crazy, pouring beer on your head, walking out of the stadium, and you just do a highly entertaining video where it's shower, no cap, walking out of Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, just beer getting thrown on your face. No big deal, no big deal, no big deal. Penn State going to the Natty. They can't get to the football national championship. So here they are in the lacrosse national championship. Kick rocks, pound sand, Coach K. That's what I would do if I'm you.
Maybe we'll get Coach K in the video. First guest ever.
I thought you weren't going to talk to him.
Hey, Coach, take your shirt off.
By the way, from David Benjamin, beyond James's retirement decision, which could be a non-issue, with the source close to James telling ESPN on Thursday that he believes the Lakers star will indeed be back for season number 21 to fulfill his contract. So that's what sources close to LeBron tell Dave McMenamin. Surprise, surprise, talking about drama. LeBron's not actually serious about retirement. He will absolutely be back with the Los Angeles Lakers next year. We'll take a timeout. Onside, offside next. 5 questions, 5 answers. Back in 5.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.